You know, I assure you what life is about. It's about God and the relationships He gives us. You can get so sidetracked in everything else that you actually miss what it's all about. But that's a testimony to a life of faithfulness right there. And again, congratulations to John and Margaret in those 50 years. You know, Joshua chapter 1 this evening. I still don't know how Jachin fits in that family, but that's all right. Jachin's going to be a dad. That's just hard to believe. A little Jachin running around here. I am hoping to, and I believe I can have it ready by next Sunday night. It's going to be a very important message. And it's going to be dealing with, I've been working on it, piecing it together for several weeks now. It happened during one of the camp weeks. I got off on a tangent about godly habits and building habits in your life that will last. It wasn't in that message, and it was just probably about 5 minutes worth or so, 10 minutes of the message that I went off on that rabbit trail, but ended up getting a lot of feedback on that portion of the message. And so it was then I determined I really need to do a full message and a teaching more on that, on how to really establish habits. Many times we put the blame on the wrong thing, whether we think it's a lack of discipline, which, as I'm going to try and show you, many times that's not the case. It's not motivation. A lot of times it really is true, coming from a point of ignorance, of not understanding how do I actually build a habit in my life, all right? And so I'm thinking I can have that ready by next Sunday night right now. This evening, Joshua chapter 1, I'll read a few verses here. And verse 1 says, "Now after the death of Moses, the servant of the Lord, it came to pass that the Lord spake unto Joshua, the son of Nun, Moses' minister, saying, Moses, my servant, is dead. Now therefore, arise. Go over this Jordan, thou and all this people, unto the land which I do give to them, even to the children of Israel. Every place that the sole of your foot shall tread upon, that I have given unto you, as I said unto Moses, from the wilderness and this Lebanon, even unto the great river, the river Euphrates, all the land of the Hittites, and unto the great sea toward the going down of the sun, shall be your coast. There shall not any man be able to stand before thee all the days of thy life, as I was with Moses, so will I be with thee." Boy, is that going to be a precious statement to Joshua. "I will not fail thee, nor forsake thee. Be strong, and of a good courage. For unto this people shalt thou divide for an inheritance the land which I swear unto their fathers to give them. Only be thou strong and very courageous, that thou mayest observe to do according to all the law which Moses my servant commanded thee. Turn not from it to the right hand or to the left, that thou mayest prosper whithersoever thou goest. The book of the law shall not depart out of thy mouth, but thou shalt meditate therein day and night, that thou mayest observe to do according to all that is written therein. For then thou shalt make thy way prosperous, and then thou shalt have good success. Have not I commanded thee, be strong and of good courage. Be not afraid, neither be thou dismayed, for the Lord thy God is with thee whithersoever thou goest." I'm going to stop reading there, but in the next verse, Joshua gets right to work. It goes from there. Let's go ahead and pray. Father in heaven, Lord, we do love you. I thank you for your word. I ask your blessing upon the message tonight. And Lord, I pray that you be glorified and honored in it. Please help me to stay true to your word. Help me to communicate this truth clearly. And may you guide this, Lord. May it be a help to your people, Lord. I love you, and I pray and ask all this in Christ's name. Amen. First, I do want to recognize, I forgot during the thing, we do have a missionary with us tonight. And he's going to Indonesia on deputation. Brother, I don't think I got you. What was your name again? Matthew. And so he's been on deputation now about 2 years or so. He's going to be in the state here for a little bit. And so I'll sit down with him later, see if we can't set up a meeting for him to come through. That's certainly going to be Indonesia. I don't know if you know, it's one of the largest Muslim countries that we have in the world is actually in Indonesia. And part of it even borders where I was for 12 years in Papua New Guinea. And so we appreciate him willing to serve our Lord there. Anyhow, for the I saw a documentary this week, just a short one. I think it's about 21, 22 minutes long. It was dealing with the country of Japan. I've always been fascinated with Japan since I traveled there. Actually, shortly after I got to Alaska in the Air Force, going back to 95, that winter, the Air Force sent me to Japan, to Tokyo region, for a couple weeks for some schooling. That was my first time in the country, and I was definitely fascinated by Japan. And have been really since that time. The culture is unique. There's a complexity to the culture that I noticed immediately. You can see many of the problems that exist, and yet the kindness of the culture is incredible when you're there. Much different than the United States in that regard. And there were certain developments that have taken place in the nation over the last 30, 40 years that I did not realize until this documentary. And it dealt with a significant portion of the people that suffer from discouragement and depression, a major percentage of them. It dealt with, they were given different contributing factors, and I'm sure those things do play a role in it. Of course, the truth is it's all because of the absence of God. Make no mistake about it. But the amount of men that never get married is astonishing in that nation. Just astounding that doesn't take place. And they actually had to assign it a government position called the Minister of Loneliness, an actual position in the government, because of what's taking place in the nation right now, which is also leading to suicide skyrocketing. And they have people that they have considered that have just given up. And not necessarily committing suicide, but literally they will go into their little apartment and just not leave. They see no reason. No reason whatsoever. And boy, as I was watching, man, just pulling on my heart to see this. They just, you know, they have crossed that line. I've talked about it before. They have sort of crossed that line from discouragement to despair. That's a dangerous line to cross right there. You know, it tells us in 1 Corinthians chapter 4, I believe it's around verse 12 or 13, the Apostle Paul was talking about his own life. He talked about being troubled on every side, perplexed, but notice what he said, but not in despair. Discouraging times certainly can come. And I know that the true reason of Japan's problem is the absence of God. There's not a doubt in my mind. I remember when I was in New Guinea, I became friends with a man who's, I don't know if he's still there right now or not, but we became friends. Had to deal with from my blog to different things like that. He was a missionary in Japan. He was actually John R. Rice's grandson. We had began communicating back and forth, different me in New Guinea, him in Japan. And he was even going over some of the complexities of being a missionary in that nation. And this is even before this, what's taking place now in the nation has happened. But even as Christians, we know the Lord. We certainly can come up against a lot of discouraging times. I can take you through different key men throughout the Word of God. Men like Moses, having to go through times of great discouragement in his life. Great frustration with what he was facing. Abraham as well. These are key men in the Bible. Abraham dealing with a large amount of discouragement in his life. Paul, Peter, we see it throughout because we have flesh. And there's times that even we as Christians can forget certain things. I believe in our text right here that Joshua is incredibly discouraged. And I want to try and explain that. and then try and use what I believe we see in Scripture here that is true really throughout what helps a Christian, and this will work, I'm telling you, this will work, to come out of that before despair sets in. All right? But you got to be willing to follow this. Listen, one of the things that is hurting us right now, we are getting to the place, the devil has done a good job at wanting us to live as a victim. Get out of that nonsense right away. All right? But I do want to look at Joshua. I think that at this time in his life, it is perhaps, I don't know all aspects of it, so based what I see in Scripture, I'll put it that way, I believe this would be the most down, discouraged that he has ever been. The man that he has given his life for, the man who would become perhaps his closest friend, a man who was also a father figure, a man, of course, that the entire nation and he himself admired, his spiritual leader, has died. He's gone. He can no longer have those conversations with him. That man is gone. I have no doubt that led to this discouragement. Over and over, you find the Lord here telling Josh over and over, be strong, be of good courage, be encouraged, over and over. And I do believe we see here the Lord gave him the key how to come out of that. The very first time we ever introduced to this man of Joshua, it's in Exodus, in chapter 17 of Exodus. He's instructed there by Moses to fight in this battle, in this war that was coming up against the Amalekites. Joshua was put in charge of the battle. So basically, he is made a general. He was to personally select the men to lead the battle. This was a man, therefore, that Moses had great confidence in. There was something that Moses seen in Joshua that Moses said, this is a man I need to rely on. And, of course, Joshua knew that. When we try and look into the personality of Joshua, again, the first paper I ever did in college was on the life of Joshua. I think he was a very, how would I put it, serious man. I think he was very serious. I think even to the point of being very quiet with the seriousness in his life. For one, this man has seen a lot. He was involved in many battles, many confrontations. Just think how they fought wars back then. This isn't shooting an AR-15 or M-16 from 20 yards away. This is direct, hand-to-hand, swords, knives. You're hearing the flesh tear. You're seeing it take place. You're seeing the maiming. You're up close. You're smelling it. You're involved in it. He's witnessed this personally time and time again. The man is human. It's going to have an effect. Think about that. He is the one sought out when someone is needed to throw himself into the fray. Many times you see that is going to be Joshua. He's also referred to as Moses' minister. So understand this, he was Moses' servant before he was ever his successor. He traveled with Moses to the mount, but stayed down below. He went with Moses when he went outside the camp with his tent. When you see Moses, you will always find Joshua. He had an admiration, a love for that man. He saw how God was using him. Joshua never, ever, 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 I believe, at all, had the idea that I would succeed Moses. By the way, had he had those ambitions, God never would have selected him. He was a man that Moses would give his confidence to, would talk with him. I have no doubt that this was the one of the few men in the nation of Israel that saw the struggles of Moses. Of all the people there, the one that knew Moses was human was Joshua. In Joshua, we see the Lord always does choose the humble. those who want to serve, not those looking for a title or a position. This was a man who was simply content, simply to be Moses' servant. But Moses is dead. He's gone. This guy who was always by the tent of Moses, never disturbing him unless called for, always ready for Moses when called upon. His devotion to him was incredible. And truly, in Scripture, outside of Joseph and Daniel, he's one of the hardest men to actually find fault with, is Joshua. He was a man then, when we see that took his walk with God very serious. Which I have no doubt that was the attribute that led Moses to depend on him so much. Could you just imagine being in some of the conversations that Moses and Joshua would have about God? How much time, all those times that Joshua probably had those moments that he just loved. Those calm evenings, everything's fine. There's no battle going on, and him and Moses just sitting down talking about the Lord. I mean, it is perhaps, well, no perhaps about it. I can look at one other man that I also believe would have spent a lot of time with Moses. So one of two men that spent the most time with Moses. We see him, of course, being selected among the 12 spies that are sent out, being one of the two that was actually faithful and so disappointed in the other 10, and knowing the battle is the Lord's. The one of two that knew we can do this, it's the Lord's battle, not ours. Now, what I do love about this, when he went out, it calls him a young man. Now, think about this. This is really, really important, especially to me. All right. When he was sent out to spy out the land, we know he was probably about 56 years old. And the Bible calls him a young man. I'll be 56 this year. According to different traditions, Jewish traditions that we have to read about to gain more knowledge on the life of Joshua, did marry. Had children. They say lots of girls. He had fulfilled the mission that God had given to him as Moses' servant. So now this day comes when God chooses him to succeed Moses. It's something that no doubt, as we read the wording of Joshua chapter 1, we get an idea of what was going on in his mind. We can see that in his mind he thought how difficult this task was. I mean, they have to head into the land and all that has been transpiring. I mean, the 40 years of wandering that is taking place and Moses seeing the people and they've multiplied all that's there. He sees the challenge, the difficulty. I think when the call came, as we can deduct by these verses, there was an amount of terror, if you will. At the very least, he felt incredibly inadequate for this. So as you begin to read Joshua chapter 1, which would have, it's one of the chapters, as I've mentioned a few times here, usually at youth events I'll mention this, that has a special meaning for me, because as I was reading through the Bible and getting to Joshua chapter 1, this was my start of my sophomore year in high school, and I read Joshua chapter 1 for the first time ever. I couldn't tell you who Joshua was before then. I didn't grow up in church. And I saw this, you know, the Lord commanding him, be strong and of good courage. Tell him this book of the law shall not depart of thy mouth. And the conviction hit in me that day to bring my Bible to school for the first time. The Lord had used Joshua chapter 1 for that in my life. So as we come to the start of the chapter, Joshua, I believe, is discouraged. His friend, his father figure, his counselor, his mentor, the man that up to this point he has given his life for, is gone. Then the Lord comes to him in Joshua chapter 1. And what I want to do with what we see in this verse this morning is try and show us how to come out of the discouragement. We see here the Lord doing certain things in Joshua's life, giving certain principles in his life that, listen, Joshua, you've got to come out of this. I've called you to this. There's things you've got to remember. And so when we go through different events in our life and different times that maybe lead to a season of discouragement, listen, that you have to determine to come out of it so it doesn't ever cross a threshold to that of despair. We all will have those times, as I mentioned, Abraham did, Peter did, Paul did. We can go through multitudes of incredibly godly people that had those seasons. But you've got to come out of it. The first thing, which I think is perhaps the most important here, is putting the first four verses together. As the Lord comes to him, after Moses has died, he sees the mindset that Joshua is in. He says, listen, Moses, my servant, is dead. Now, therefore, arise. And then he goes on with instructions that I'm going to go through with that. So the first thing that I think is imperative that you do when the time of discouragement comes, there's a time to arise. There's a time to say, you know what? I am discouraged. Lord, I need your help. I have to put it into this. No, that's not going to shut the emotion off. That's not going to happen. You follow through. You walk by faith, trusting God, and say, you know what? I will arise. Even with all that's taking place, because there are battles to be won, there are giants in your life that need to be taken out. He's telling Joshua, listen, it's time to arise. There's a land to be conquered. It's time to move on with life. It's happened. You have to arise. There might be things in your life that have plagued you for years and have held you back. Listen, it's simply time to arise. To get your life in a place where it should be before the Lord. Don't identify yourself as this defeated person. Understand, you are a child of the King. You keep on identifying yourself as this defeated person, and that's all you're ever going to be. Get your mindset out of that. I preach it and I teach it over and over and over. How you choose to identify yourself will have great impact on your life. If you choose to identify as a defeated, depressed person, that's all you're going to be. You change the identity. You say, through the Lord's help, that will not be me. Again, I'm going to apply that same thing when we get to the habits. Let's say you want to start the habit of starting simply to be a reader, which I think is important. Let's say you want to start that habit. You mean the motivation's there, you have things right. Part of it, it's just one part of the puzzle, if you will, is changing your identity. To begin to see yourself almost from day one when you decide I'm going to do this, you're going to put the habit in place. You're not going to say I'm going to try to be. You're going to look at yourself, I am a reader. You change how you identify yourself. If you're a person who always sees himself as late, well, that's just who I am. That's all you're ever going to be. So the Lord comes to him and says, Joshua, it's time to arise. No doubt Joshua, overwhelmed on the calling that is placed on his life. He used to just simply be the servant. That was it. He had really, Moses had to carry all of the burden and all of the weight. Not Joshua. And now, no doubt, again, the overwhelming, it's hitting him. He is having to replace what is still considered in Jewish history as perhaps one of the most amazing leaders that God ever used. And many times what we face can seem absolutely overwhelming as you follow the Lord. You don't allow that to keep you down. You have to get to the place saying, no, I will arise. Joshua, obviously living with the people, his own people, he knew their weaknesses. He knew the problems that existed. He knew how difficult this would be, not only with the people and trying to manage their spiritual condition, but there's also 31 kings that he's going to have to battle with here shortly. But it was time to arise. It was time to go forward. He says, listen, Moses is dead, but Joshua, arise. Move on. The work doesn't stop. And what the Lord's doing, the Lord's not being insensitive in our pathetically weak age today. He's actually showing Joshua how to get over it. Get up and get moving. Get your mind on something else. Arise. It's time to go forward. When we get discouraged, I assure you, the Lord calls us to arise, to go forward, move on. This is a conscious decision that we make. It's not easy, especially at the beginning, because all of a sudden the emotion just doesn't go away. But as you walk by faith, say, listen, I will arise. I will not allow this to hold me down. I will get out of that bed. I will put one foot in front of another. I will open that Bible. I will read it. I will get on my knees and pray. I will arise. Lord, what would you have me to do? I have battles to face in my life. I have giants to come on. Let me take them one at a time. When we get discouraged, the Lord calls us to arise. To do that, Joshua has to avoid, listen to me, living in the past. The reason why he's being told to arise is because he isn't moving. You can live in the past. Something comes up in life that has a paradigm shift or just changes life dramatically for you, and all of a sudden you don't think it should have went this direction, and you are tempted just to sit down, just to look back, and just simply live in the past. You are wasting the breath that God has given you. Listen, the truth is, I'm not being mean, it isn't about you. You have been given this life by the Creator. Serve Him. The fact is, in Joshua's life, change has come. That happens in life. We are tempted during times of change to run or to simply live in the past, never embracing what has changed. If a change has occurred, if something has happened, all right, Lord, you knew this. This isn't a surprise to you. I will let it not define. I will let it not keep me down. I will arise, Lord. Give me wisdom for it. Give me help for it. Change, as we all know, is a part of life. Too often we allow it to paralyze us. You got to arise and move forward. Learn from the past. Don't live in the past. If your past is filled with failure, listen, that's where you got to change that identity. Don't believe that's your future. Nope. You go before the Lord, you realize, as we're going to go through here, what the Lord tells Joshua, that you have the Lord on your side, that you can arise, you can go forward. You don't allow regret. You don't allow bitterness to take away your joy. I mean, look at Lamentations chapter 3. Love this. And Lamentations is a book of what? Lamentations. I mean, Jerusalem has been destroyed. But if you say, you don't understand, my life has just been filled with failure, I got news for you. It's a new day. You repent. You go before the Lord. Lord, I am sorry. And know what the Lord says? Look at Lamentations chapter 3 and verse 22. It is of the Lord's mercies that we are not consumed, because His compassions fail not. They are new every morning. Great is Thy faithfulness. The Lord is my portion, saith my soul. Therefore will I hope in Him. We don't have to allow that bitterness or the regret to come in. We simply repent, get our life right, and the Lord is right there. He'll still use us. We learn from our past failures. We make the changes that are necessary. So many have allowed past failures to prevent them from ever moving forward when they need to arise. Again, I've said it many times, true success is not based. True success is based on our ability to get back up after we failed. That's what will define it in life. I almost never, ever preached again simply because of what a complete, utter disaster the very first sermon I ever preached was. Again, I brought up that youth night, the pastor coming to me, I'd like you to preach for youth night, Sunday night, family's coming. There's not a person in this room that would believe for a second that God called me to preach. And I would have been the loudest voice among you after that night. I mean, I'm not joking when I say the pastor had to remove me from the pulpit because I froze. I wrote it all out, yellow legal pad, Job chapter 1. I can talk fast. Well, when I was incredibly nervous, wanting to throw up, I read that thing so fast. Boom. Not kidding, 2 or 3 minutes, I was done. Not 20 minutes like he asked me to take. I was done. And I realized how fast I was done. And I froze. I could feel the redness hitting me. And I'm not kidding. As the redness, I remember it like it's happening right now. The sweat started pouring down. And I'm saying nothing. The pastor was sitting over here up on the platform I preached. And he's like, oh my goodness, what have I done? And he simply got up, grabbed me, pulled me off the pulpit, and sat me down. And then he preached that night. By the way, it'd be about 25 years later. I'm preaching in North Olmsted, Ohio on a furlough. And guess who would walk in and sit down for that service? That pastor. I still remember him afterwards. I mean, just, it was a sweet moment afterwards. I could have chose to let that failure define me. And just said, I'll never do that again. But the day come when the Lord was saying, no, you need to arise. Get over that. Get over yourself a little bit. Be willing, listen to me, don't miss the truth of this. Be willing to live in the present when change comes. Be willing to face it and move on. The Lord gives him over and over here why he can't arise. He just didn't say arise and leave it there. He said, Joshua, arise. The first thing he promised was his protection in verse, go back to Joshua chapter 1 and verse number 5. He said this. He said, there shall not any man be able to stand before thee in all the days of thy life. As I was with Moses, so will I be with thee. I will not fail thee nor forsake thee. So he told Joshua to arise and he gives all these promises. Joshua, I want you to think about this. You will have my protection. No man shall be able to stand before you. You're seeing these kings. You're seeing the task. Get your eyes focused back on me. No man will be able to stand before you, Joshua. Listen, when you are in the will of God, you are in His hand. You can trust in the Lord in those moments. You can press forward saying, I will arise. Maybe you don't understand what's going on. Maybe it's defying you to say, nope, I'm going to move on. I have this life of God. I will serve Him. I will glorify Him. This is what I will do. And the Lord says, yes, I'll be right there. As He promised Moses here in these same verses, His protection, His power, saying, I'll be there. No man can stand against you. I'm with you. As I was with Moses, so shall I be with you. I mean, when Joshua heard that, he was there when they came out of Egypt. He was there at the parting of the Red Sea. He was there when the manna fell. He was there when God's presence filled the tabernacle. He saw Moses glowing after meeting with God. He saw the wisdom that God gave Moses. And God just told him, as I was with Moses, I will be with you. He understood what that meant. God would be his help. And listen, just like in our life, we have to arise. Joshua had 31 kings to conquer. We got a lot of stuff in our life that keeps us down. We sit down, living in the past, or just allowing ourselves to be defeated, discouragement controlling, never, ever, ever defeating those things in our life that are keeping us from that Spirit-filled life that we need. Keeping us from our promised land, if you will. taking on those enemies that need to be removed in our own life. Those battles that your mind has. Those battles with anxiety, whatever it is, lust, you name it. It's time to arise and trust the Lord for the battle. He promised him also protection, power with this, his presence. I mean, the Lord was going, he promised really all these things several times in these verses. Listen, the truth is, you know, and I say it this way just because it was, I was on a furlough from New Guinea in John chapter 14. And I was reading another book at the time on it was on theology and different things like that. And it was interesting. And so, anyhow, some things he had said made me think of John chapter 14. And I developed a sermon on it, and I have preached it here. And that was going, you know, with what Christ had given that instruction, with all that was going on in the disciples' life, they were so discouraged at the time. In my Father's house are many mansions. We're not, so I would have told you, I go to prepare a place for you. And anyhow, the thought that grabbed me in those verses is simply the fact that God is there. And he is. That's what he's telling Joshua. It's almost like he's saying, Joshua, you would have reason to stay down if I'm gone. But I'm not. I'm here. And the Lord is. We have his presence. What an encouragement. Don't think God has left you. You're believing a lie. He hasn't. He said, Hebrews chapter 13, I will never leave thee nor forsake thee. The same promise Joshua has, you have. And it makes a huge difference when you know God is there. It makes a difference when you know that the Creator himself, and it's not some fairy tale with everything you're going through, he understands it completely. Again, I've told this story before. I remember I had to, back growing up, especially in elementary school, going into middle school back in the late 70s and the early 80s, and maybe it's still a thing, I don't know, but when you were a boy, you had several times during the school year you'd have to have fights, all right? And one day, I remember, again, I had to fight Casey. I'm not going to win the fight, and I know that, but I'm going to show up. All right, it was at the playground, just like you see. It was at the playground right by the slide. That's when it was going to happen. And my brother knew that I was going to have to fight. He's 3 years older than me. We didn't get along at all until after we were out of school. But he knew I had to fight, and my brother knew he's not winning this fight. And so he came along. Do you know how much help it was just knowing, having my brother there? He wasn't going to stop the fight, but know what I knew? I wasn't going to get pummeled. Why, he's there, he's not going to allow that to happen. Listen, whatever you're facing, listen, God is there. He's not going to allow you to be pummeled. Do you understand that? He's right there. Know that God is there. So Joshua reminds him of his presence. And then he gives those great verses in verse 8 and 9. He tells him this: this book of the law shall not depart out of thy mouth. He says, listen, Joshua, you're going to need my word. And listen, we have so much more than Joshua had. Do you understand that? We have so much more than what he had. You can go to the Proverbs. You can go to the Psalms. You can go to the Gospels. You can go to the Epistles. This book of the law shall not depart out of thy mouth, but thou shalt meditate therein day and night, that thou mayest observe to do according to all that is written therein. Listen to me. Our obedience here is directly tied to us being in God's word daily and meditating upon it. It could be why you struggle so much with obedience. It's tied directly. He goes on. For then thou shalt make thy way prosperous, and then thou shalt have good success. Have not I commanded thee? I mean, think of the question he's given to Joshua. In other words, he's saying, listen, it's not some other guy here in Israel that's commanding you right now saying, arise. It's me, the creator of the universe. I mean, maybe, I don't think I'm wrong on this. But let's just take in our era here between a president like Ronald Reagan as compared to Joe Biden, who could hardly walk. Do you think the generals had more confidence in a command coming from Reagan or Biden? It's obvious. It's a no-brainer of a question. They saw the aptitude, the strength that was there, the conviction that was there. The Lord's telling Joshua, have not I commanded thee? He's not dealing with disobedience by that question. He's trying to remind Joshua who it is that has just told him to arise. I mean, it's kind of like in the house when you have your siblings are fighting and one of the other siblings is telling you, listen, you better get up and do what's right. Are they going to listen to that? Nope. Just get out of my face, stupid brat. But if dad comes, that's different. That's different. God reminds Joshua, I am coming to you personally. I am here. The peace that would give because of who is giving the orders. I mean, the principles that we have will receive this throughout Scripture, like Philippians 4:13. I can do all things through Christ which strengthens me. And the context of that is Paul saying, I've learned when I'm abased or when I abound, when I have nothing or when I have everything, I know this, that I have that contentment. I can do all things through Christ which strengtheneth me. And God knows exactly what each of us can handle. Without a doubt, He does. He's not going to allow things into your life that you can't handle and that He can't even, that He can't use. We're talking even evil things that take place where God can use the evil for something good in your life. So God's telling you, listen, have not I commanded thee? He is the one giving the orders. Therefore, he says in verse 9, be strong and of good courage. Be not afraid, neither be thou dismayed. For the Lord thy God is with thee whithersoever thou goest. Joshua, the fear has to stop defining you. And by the way, remember this. I've taught this before. Boldness is not the absence of it. It's not the absence of fear. Boldness is you responding by faith in spite of it. It's pressing on. It is arising. But fear of failure, it can be all kinds of things where the fear controls you in your life right now with what you're facing. A fear of failure, a fear of letting others down, a fear of what others will think. Listen, just learn it's about God. Trust Him and follow Him. Let God worry about those pieces. He's the one that's commanding. He's the one that says, arise. Just make sure it's about God. Make sure your life is about Him. He's the one that it's all about. And you know what Joshua did? He started commanding the people. Bam. Done. With heads bowed and eyes closed. Let me ask this question here tonight. If you're here right now, you're not even certain that you'd go to heaven if you died. You don't even know if you're truly God. You don't know if you've truly been converted. Say, Pastor, I don't know what's going to happen to me when I die. I'm worried that I would go to hell. I'm not sure I'd go to heaven. Please pray for me. If that's you, would you just raise your hand? Anyone here like that right now? I see just some small children. All right, Christian. Here this evening, the Lord spoke to your heart. You need to come and pray. We'll give time for that right now. Father in heaven, bless this invitation, work in hearts and lives, Lord. I pray this in Christ's name. Amen. Let's all stand to our feet. Turn to page 571. If you need to come and pray, you come and pray.